Welcome to Battle Ready. I'm your host, Ricky Chavez. This is your show where you prepare to face your toughest battles with confidence and resilience. And this is actually going to be my first show on site. I'm actually in Atlanta, Georgia, out here in one of the hotels as we travel through the U.S. But today we're joined by George Crosby, a transformational executive with more than 33 years of leadership experience guiding startups, turnarounds, and large organizations. He's led teams of over 2,000 and overseen billions in revenue. What makes George stand out in his ability to help people rise stronger in the face of challenge is he is the COO now of Legacy Performance Partners, a startup that he has just put together. Because, you know, as he's led the different organizations, he realized he gets constant calls for mentorship opportunities, and he decided that's where his passion is. In this first segment, we're tackling a struggle that many families face, financial stress in relationships. And for some couples, money become a source of arguments, tension, and even division at home. Now, George, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for having me, Ricky.
You know, George, we've known each other for quite a long time, and I've seen you in many different roles. And last time we talked in one of our previous segments is you were the COO of Fond du Lac. You were running a big organization down in New Jersey. And then you decided, you know, it's time for me to go out on my own. Tell me about that decision, man.
Yeah, so in transformation, not only, you know, in the business world, but in personal world, needs to happen if you're going to continue to grow. And as you mentioned earlier, I do have 33 years in different verticals that I've come to understand, perfect to a certain degree. And I felt that my future is through this Legacy Performance Partners consulting firm that I can use my skill sets to help others and train others. I love, like you said earlier, I love to mentor people. I love to see the end result through hard work and dedication.
And you know what? I think that, and as long as I've known you, I've known about your experiences coming from, you know, when you started out, you know, in the warehouses in FedEx. And then you had mentors. Did you have mentors in FedEx that you really leaned on?
Yes, several mentors that really coached me through when I was a young, you know, young buck, trying to work my way through the organization, right? It's a huge organization. You have to know how to maneuver and to engage and to kind of sometimes manage up. And, you know, it's two individuals. One, I learned what to do and sometimes what not to do as a leader. And the other one, who is still my mentor now and who's helping me now develop this consulting firm, has been with me for 33 years. Still to this day.
You know what you said, that something that you said that really, really resonates with me is that it is mentor up. You know, and you said you can learn from the good and the bad leaders, right?
Yeah, I did.
And I think that
I didn't want my people to feel, you know, how I felt in that moment. And another thing I learned through mentorship is, you know, there's going to be good bosses, there's going to be bad bosses. You can't pick your boss for the most part, right?
Sure.
So you learn how to deal with those two individuals or several individuals that treat you differently, lead differently. And you can still learn from them, and don't pass it on to your people. Lead your people how you want to be led.
Oh, no, that's definitely a great watchword. You know, I think, you know, we learned that in the military, right? Lead by example, you know, do all these things and lead from the front, right? Yeah. And I'm going to have to throw this in there real fast because, you know, you were my first boss 1,000 years ago, right? I was fresh out the Army. I interviewed with you. We talked for a couple hours. And then you call me the next day and say, listen, man, you got the job. I want you to meet me in San Antonio, Texas, in this FedEx warehouse. I want you to meet me at 3:00 in the morning. And I'm like thinking, what? Okay, so, hey, I don't know any better. I show up at the warehouse. And at that time, you were a managing director at FedEx, I believe, right?
Yeah, I was 27.
Yeah, so I'm 39 years old, fresh out of the Army, you know, and I'm used to working with leaders that are junior in age, not necessarily junior experience, but because I'm new to this organization. But that's the one beautiful thing about the military is it's all about the position. We understand that we learn from everybody. But I show up at this warehouse 3:00 in the morning, and I'm in a suit, and because I'm still trying to figure out a transition, right? And I'm like, I'm here to see Mr. Crosby. And they're like, yeah, he's in the warehouse back in the back. So I'm walking through this warehouse, 3 o'clock in the morning. Everybody's in shorts and, you know, they're moving packages. And I'm in a suit and I'm walking through the warehouse. And then I finally meet, I see another manager say, hey, do you know where Mr. Crosby's at? And they're like, yeah, he's in the back of the truck. And I'm like, what? So I walk, I climb up in the suit, look in the back, and you're showing this young kid how to unload the truck. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember it. Yeah.
And I thought that's when you and I kind of we saw eye to eye. And then you said something to me and like, you think you could do this? And I didn't know any better. I threw my jacket off and I went to the truck next door and I just started throwing packages. I remember that as good as night. But I think that just is a great story about you and what you did, because I didn't know you. You knew I was coming, but I know you weren't even thinking about me. I was your new HR person. And you're showing this entry level package handler. And if I'm not mistaken, isn't unloading the truck like the beginning of the package handling thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're in there showing them how to do that. Why did you do that?
Well, A, I wanted to show my manager how to lead by example, right?
Okay.
And that nothing's beneath us. And that the most important individuals in that organization are those people, the frontline individuals. And I also believe in understanding of any business, the engineering principles, the basics of the business. You got to have a good foundation if you're going to hit productivity standards. And so it was for to show this individual how to work smarter, not harder, because there's certain techniques that you can use to really still get the productivity you need, but not really, hustle and bustle. It's not easy, but, you know, I wanted to show him the basics. So then he had a good foundation to really be successful, but it also sends a message to everyone else. Like this dude, you know, cause you're going to ask him to do 10,000, 40 cases an hour. Well, you can tell him all day, but you got to show him. And I wanted to show him, and that resonated through the organization, throughout that building as well. And when I set expectations, I wanted to make sure they can be accomplished. And so I would do it myself just to make sure that they know it can be done.
I remember something about 3 seconds. Did I remember that, Ron? It's been like over 20 years ago, yeah. But it was three up, three down, something like that. Is that what it was?
And why you putting the package down, you should always be looking for when the next package you're going to grab. So,
and I think that, and people don't understand what goes all into the package delivery and the performance package delivery. And I learned through the years, but I remember when you put it down, you have to put it down a certain way so that they can read the
label
labels, right? Okay. Yeah.
So
I mean, there's an art to that, right?
Yeah. There's a science to it. Yeah. Right.
So I mean,
and the trailer needs to be done when basically in an hour. Trailer has to be finished.
And how many packages are in a trailer?
Normally 1,100.
And so they take everything out. So here again, my first experience with you is that, right? Managing director of this organization. I think you at that time you had, was it 18 buildings or 20 buildings, somewhere?
32 buildings, all of FedEx south of I-20.
Okay, and all the buildings were different sizes. This was one of the larger buildings, but you're in there, you're showing them how to do everything, and you're coaching them, you're coaching the manager to how to coach his employee, right? Yes. And that's kind of what led you here, right? So now you're gonna, with your organization now, you're going to help coach leadership into leading from the front.
Yes.
Is that right?
That's correct. Hands-on leadership. You can't lead an organization from an office.
Right, right.
There has to be an engagement, expectation set, accountability measures, KPIs. And a lot of companies don't have those, you know, especially the smaller companies, they don't have that. They have educational experience, but they don't have the real world experience. They might know how to run the business, but how you can take the business from 100 million to 500 million. Right. Just like back in the day, it took a different competency to run a building that's A size, which is our smaller buildings at FedEx, versus the competency it takes to run a San Antonio, which is a D size, one of the larger buildings. You can't be the same. So if they want to grow, those entrepreneurs want to grow their business, they have to lean on people like me and my knowledge for 33 years to help them get that business to the next level through technology, performance management, engineering principles, like I said, KPIs. And so, you know, they know their business, whatever the business is, you know, the business, you know, I'm going to this week, it's a wine company, right?
Okay.
And they bought other wine companies and they need help kind of integrating, but also operational expertise, because they don't know the operation side, because they basically sell the wine. Now they have potentially distributed in Denver. So it's kind of,
yeah, then we can move into a different level.
Yes.
So people come and when you interview them, they may have the educational idea of what the position is or what's going on, but then in the actual hands-on and the in the military we call a HOPOT, hands-on performance oriented training, right? But now they may know the idea of what to do, but not the application, I guess that's the word, right?
That's okay.
And that's what you're going to coach them with.
Yeah,
well, guys, we'll be right back with George Crosby with Legacy Partnership and Leading. I'm going to get this right before the end of the show, I promise you. And we'll be right back after this commercial. Welcome back to Battle Ready. You want more of what you're watching? Stay connected to Battle Ready and every Now Media TV favorite. Live on demand, anytime you like, or all you have to do is download your free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and unlock nonstop bilingual programming, English and Spanish. If you're on the move, you can also catch the podcast version right from our website at www.nowmedia.tv. From business and new lifestyles to culture and beyond, Now Media TV is streaming around the clock, ready whenever you are, and now we're everywhere, okay? We're out here in Atlanta, Georgia. So I'm here with George Crosby, and in this segment, we're tackling the topic that feels overwhelming to a lot of people, and that's building wealth. You know, now that he's the COO of Legacy Performance Partners, George has made it his mission to go out and coach and mentor different organizations through their challenges. George, welcome back.
Hey. Glad to be here, Ricky. Thank you.
George, if an organization's looking to reach out to you and your expertise, how would they reach out to you?
Yeah, so right now I'm still going through the transitional phase, the due diligence of my new organization, consulting firm. So the best way to reach me is George Crosby at LinkedIn.
Okay, perfect. And I know you're very attentive. I know that I still talk to a lot of the other people that we've worked with in different organizations. And I've asked, you know, I've given your information. And anytime I talk to them, they're like, wow, man, George called me and we talked and it's got a wealth of knowledge. So, George, how scary was stepping out on your own?
Very scary, right? Because I went from culture and mentoring training entrepreneurs to actually becoming one, right? So it's a little different, but it's also exciting. It's also, you know, as you grow in your professional life and even your personal life, there has to be transformational steps, right? And I've made several. It worked out for me, but again, I had good mentors. I have a good mentor for this stage of my career. I'm ready to again coach, mentor, and train, but from a different capacity, and really build some success, not only me self-fulfilling, but also for the organization as well.
You know, and you said you've made a few transitions through your career. Any of those transition maybe didn't turn out the way you thought, and you know, walk me through that. You know, you were all hyped, you went someplace and maybe didn't quite work out the way you were envisioning it.
Yeah, absolutely. The one that comes to mind, after 22 years with FedEx, a headhunter called me, and there was another organization, I won't say the name, that wanted my services, wanted my expertise. They needed help, And I was no at first. So this is something other people can learn from my mistake.
Exactly.
So what they did, they threw money at me. So they threw sign-on bonus and they threw, you know, obviously salary to get me to come over. They portrayed their culture to be like FedEx's culture. They portrayed to have a mission, a vision of the organization. And I bought into it. And after 6 months, they dismantled the entire organization. So now for the first time since I was 17 years old, I didn't have a job. Right? And so you go through emotions. You know, you're like, how could I be that naive? How could I make that mistake? Because I had it well at FedEx. I was running Florida at the time.
Sure.
You know, best stitch of the year, 6 out of 7 years. Of the last 7 years. So you do some soul searching, some reflecting, but it doesn't define you as a person, right?
Right.
If you have the will, the desire, the passion to figure it out, you can. If you have a woe is me attitude, you can't have that as well. I had the opposite. I was a go-getter. I believed in my abilities. I didn't know where I was going to land. But it worked out. And now I look back going, I'm not so sad it happened. I'm at a better place now than I would have been back then. I've learned, because when you're with one organization for so long, it kind of becomes mundane and you kind of narrowly focus. You only focus on execution, right?
Right.
Stepping out of that world, you know, learning 3PL, learning white glove delivery service, understanding more of cash flow management. Like I would have never have known that. I wouldn't have had those expertise. And now I can use those expertise that I learned not only from FedEx, but from the other organizations to bring to my organization. I'm not one dimensional anymore.
You know, this, one of the things that we talk about on the show all the time is you don't know what you don't know, right? And yeah. Had you not taken that detour, I guess, right? And yeah. And good, bad, and ugly, you wouldn't have had the experiences, the good experiences, the uproar in your life, right? And I think, and we talked before that there's some things that you would have looked for up front that maybe you didn't know to look for at the time. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, and one of the things that I can say with 100% certainty, if there's an organization out there trying to pay you more what the market bears, or throwing money at you, odds are it's not a good situation. They have to throw money, because if you're a good organization and you have good succession plan and you have a good reputation, you don't have to throw money, right? You can throw opportunities, but anytime if service manager or a manager or coordinator, we call them, at FedEx is making this number up, you know, 50,000, and they get an offer for 70,000. Well, they're going, wow, that's great. And then they jump ship and they find out it's not what they thought it was going to be. And it's not worth the money. So that's the biggest one, is if an organization is trying to throw money, I would, how do you say, the grass is not always greener on the other side.
That's right.
Right.
That's what, you know what? I totally agree with that. And I had somebody tell me one time, if you think the grass is greener on the other side, you're not watering your grass enough. Right. Yeah. That sticks in my head all the time. It's like, maybe you need to regroup, but now you have just, moved to this organization, had 6 months experience. And next thing you know, the organization no longer exists. And then you're back out there and not knowing where your next steps are. That's pretty scary, huh?
Very scary. But I will say, and I know this, you know, when I talk about, you know, how to build personal wealth, right? I will say I was very disciplined. So when I lost the job, I already had contingency emergency funds available.
Okay.
Right? And that takes discipline. That takes putting away X percent, making sure you have at least 3 months. If you lose your job, it takes about 3 to 6 months to find a new job. Having that emergency bank account available. So, because one thing to be stressed, you don't have a job after, you know, 22 years. Well, I mean, I worked in high school, but the company, 22 years. It's a whole nother stress level if you can't afford your light bill or your hospital. And then that puts a divide between you and your spouse, right? And it, so if there's one thing I can say, that because I was mentored about financial, you know, responsibility to yourself and your family, I didn't have that worry, which was nice. I had to worry about my ego, my pride,
right?
Where I was gonna go,
so, right?
You know? But man, you add financial, you know, impact to that. That's a whole nother stress level.
Oh, for sure, and then especially, you know, with the family and you have other responsibilities that you really have to think about. So that's a very good point that is out there, because I know that having been in the human resource realm for so long, you know, you can tell the difference in how a person interviews based on their financial situation, right? Yeah. You know, when they're running out of money, it's like, I'll do anything, go anywhere. I don't care that I live, you know, 45 minutes from the location. I can make the drive. I can do this. I can do that. You know, that kind of stresses people on what their next decision is going to be, right?
Yeah, because then they have to settle, right? They have to settle for a role, and they don't like the role, and then they're miserable in the role. But so it compounds. It just adds a lot of pressure. I'll say this too, Ricky. You know, it's easy to make excuses on why you can't save money, right? And there's wants and there's needs, right? The needs have to be met. The wants can wait. And unfortunately, our culture is not like that with credit cards and you know, fast money and pay by the month. And a person has to be really disciplined to not take advantage of, or allowing banks to take advantage of them. So I used to do, maybe remember this, but I used to run a financial course, not a course, but seminar that, to my lower level managers, because they would always say, well, you know, if I made more, then I can get out of the situation. If I made more, I can get out of the situation. So I used to put on a little clinic.
Remember that?
Yeah. You know, under the hidden paycheck.
Uh-huh.
And we show them, I'm like, hold up, you taking advantage of the 401k? No. Well, that's 4% there. No, it was at the time, it was 8%. Right, match. I said, you pay the 8% of what you're making. You just got an 8% raise. You're not taking advantage of it. And another thing was I lost my train of thought. Sorry.
Don't worry about it. I do remember one thing, because I remember one of the ones, and all the managers talked to me, and I walked the buildings, and they're like, "Man, why we got to go do this?" And I'm like, "Listen, you don't understand anything about finances until you're broke." And don't have no, and people don't have the foresight, you know, they don't think in the future. Hindsight's 2020, right?
Yeah.
But yeah. The future, and I think that's what, once they sat down with you and you kind of got it in their heads, I think that their mindset changed quite a bit.
Not only that, it builds loyalty. Like, I care about them, right? It builds a bond, like, wow, he does care about us. So what I was going to say is, when they say, oh, if I made more money, I told them. What happens is, you're going to make more money. That means you're just as broke at a higher level if you don't have the discipline, because you're going to spend it just like you're spending this
money.
So, you know, I tell them all the time, yeah, you can go make 50,000 more or whatever. But guess what? Eventually, you're going to be broke again because you don't have the 100%. Discipline. So, I'm not sure how we got off on that tangent, but yeah. You know,
no, we're good. So we're going to come right back.
I enjoy doing that stuff, man.
Yeah, no, it's great. And we're going to be right back after this commercial and talk with George Crosby, the COO of the, I'm going to say Legacy Partners. No, what is it? Legacy?
Farmers Partners.
Man, I see you coaching me right now. I appreciate you, George. We'll be right back.
All right, thanks.
Welcome back to Battle Ready. You know, life has a way of throwing curveballs, job loss, illness, or even divorce. And for many, these moments can feel like their financial world is falling apart. George, you've been in the front lines of turnarounds and crisis leadership. Let's dig into how people can prepare for and bounce back from life's toughest financial decision. Now that as a COO, Legacy Performance Partners, see, I get it before the end of the show. The challenges that people view or the companies view, they view it at all levels, right? So you'll be working with the leadership, right, of these organizations and coaching them through how to help their teams. And one of the things you just said a minute ago was about your financial class that you set up. Let's talk a little bit more about that.
All right. Yeah. Again, it's more of, you know, if you think about it, growing up, I know how I grew up, no one taught you how to be financially responsible, right? There's not a class in school. So I just gave a basic, you know, lead a basic course on just the fundamentals on how to set a budget, how to keep the budget, right? How to maximize your paycheck, how to live within your means, how the difference between wants and there's needs. You got to take care of the needs. Unfortunately, a lot of people take care of their wants and then they don't have money for their needs. And so you go through those basic, you know, what apps to use, right? Start your kids off. Now they have apps for kids, right? Show them how to budget. That way they know at an early age than we ever knew, to be able to coach and teach them through, you know, example, giving them chores and paying them and then having them have to pay for whatever they want, right? And work for it. So you're teaching them discipline, but you're also teaching them fiduciary responsibility. So it's those type of things. If you can engage, if they can engage their teams that way and they have a motivated team, their organizations will be successful. And if people think or feel that they're important to you as an individual, not just a number at a company, they're going to be loyal to you. So it's those type of engagements in a company that need to happen to really, you know, perform. And financial, the worst thing a person can go through is financial hardship, because it's not going to affect their personal life, it's going to affect their professional life. So the anything the company can do to help them, that needs to happen.
So now as you're having the Legacy Performance Partners group, you'll be also coaching the leadership on how to maximize their financial situation, because you said transitioning from FedEx to your first company, you were able to learn a lot about P&L, not the P&Ls, but the cash flow, what to make decisions on. So how will you go about coaching them?
Yeah, just through like you said earlier, just hands-on leadership. I'm a numbers-driven individual. I definitely would use some AI tools to kind of expedite the learning gap that they may have. And taking the data, telling the story, and then identifying the opportunities that they may or may not have, and the developing a solid plan that I can coach them through.
So what would a leader out there what would their situation be for them to reach out to you? I mean, you know, what would cause them to reach out to you?
Again, you know, especially from an entrepreneur standpoint, it gets to a point where you can manhandle an organization for a while. But when the organization gets too big for one person, you need assistance. And a lot of times the entrepreneurs have never been through an organization of the size that we've been through, you included. And so they don't know what they don't know. So they need that expertise. That's why there's so many consultants out there. They need those expertise to get them to the next level. Again, a $100 million company cannot be run the same as a $500 million company. It takes different competencies. So their competency as entrepreneurs normally take a risk, work hard in the business, grow the business, you know, do sales, operations, and finance on one person scenario. And you can't do that as the company continues to grow. So if you can't do that, then your company's going to be stagnant. And anytime your company's stagnant and you have competitors, they will outpace you, right? They will get more market share. So it's very important that these companies, they can't afford to have you on full time, but they can afford for you to come in, help them build a plan, build the strategy behind how to get them from phase one of their operations to phase two. And what are those steps? What does it look like? What technology do they need? It happened in the last company I was in, you know, it got too big. So it's a multi-pronged approach, Ricky. But the desire is out there, because most entrepreneurs want to grow their business, right? Because when they try to sell that business, it's on multiples. So the bigger the company, the more multiple, the more money they got.
And I know one of the things I always was real proud of watching you do is taking the different departments within the organization and building a synergy. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, you have to build that team, you know, atmosphere, right? It's not one operation against the other. So one of the things that I do, I have all the people work in every department, right? Because you can think you know what the other person does until you go
do it. You walk a mile in their shoes.
Yeah, right? And so that shows a lot of respect. And so, you know, Johnny or Sue, you know, they don't do anything in that department. Well, you go try it, see how you do. So I make sure my first 60, 90 days that everyone in the organization has worked in every job. Maybe not for all 8 to 10 hours, but they've worked that job, understand. And that builds the trust and respect between the teammates. Another thing we practice is peer reviews. So each department gets to have a say about the other person's review, right? And that, again, builds, because you can ask someone, hey, how you think you're doing in your job? So you give them the performance review and ask them how you think you're doing. What the average person going to be like, a five. And then the boss has to sit on down and say, you're not that good, but here's why, right? It doesn't mean you're a bad person. It means here's some opportunities. And so we'll use some of that feedback from the different departments on how they interact and communicate and what kind of, you know, throwing emails out there. You know, there's what we call them email bullies, right? And so you give them saying, listen, here's why in this competency, you're getting a 1 and not a 5, but here's the reasons. Here's the examples that were given on you about specific situations that you could have handled differently. Then we take those situations and then we have them build their action plan to how they're going to work on that. And then you follow up. That builds
cohesiveness, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I know that
small wins. People want to win.
No, 100%. Yeah. I'm going to go back to one of our FedEx Day stories. I remember it was right after, I think it was Katrina. And, we were in Houston, but you ended up sending me to Lake Charles, Louisiana, and man, that place had been torn up, and I was in the HR department. I was a contract resource guy too, and I remember we still were trying to get the packages out, and I remember getting a call from you saying, "Hey Ricky, you think you could drive one of those trucks?" And I was like, "Yeah, I guess." I mean, you know, I have been recruiting drivers. I've been recruiting managers to do this. And the next thing I know, I'm driving one of your box trucks, delivering packages. And it definitely gave me a better understanding because driving a truck is whatever. But I mean, just there are different methods of boxing off the areas. And I remember probably one of the scariest things I did at FedEx was back a box truck to Bed Bath and Beyond down that little ramp. And I swear to God, I was gonna knock off the mirrors. It was such a small group and the drivers did it so easily. So it was definitely a learning experience for me. I remember that really like it was yesterday.
Yeah, that made you appreciate what a driver does, right?
100%.
Yeah. And when they see that you're doing that, they're gonna have more respect for you.
I totally agree with that. I just, I remember
I think that was Rita. And if you recall, we they didn't have hotel rooms, so we rented RVs and we stayed on site.
On site.
Yeah. And we were delivering packages, myself included, and there was no signs. All the signs have been blown away.
I remember that. And it was just definitely a lot of experiences. That, you know, as we're talking through this, I'm thinking, you know, and that was at a smaller level, but a very crazy part of the time, you know, time in the U.S. And then you just keep pushing that on now at the higher levels. with when you were at Fond du Lac, and now I guess you're going to this company today at 3, right? That's your first new opportunity, huh?
Yep, today.
So you're looking forward to that?
I am. But like you said, you know, it's a little scary, right? Because it's out of my comfort zone. But I'm okay with being, you know, that's another thing about, you know, wealth, and you gotta push the envelope and get out of your comfort zone.
Right.
But it is, you know, you can't stay stagnant.
100%. Well, everybody, we'll be right back with George Crosby, CEO of Legacy Performance Partners, right after this commercial. Welcome back to Battle Ready. Don't miss a second of this show or any of your favorite Now Media TV favorites. Streaming live on demand whenever you want or whenever you want to see them. You can grab the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and enjoy instant access to our line of bilingual programs, both in English and Spanish. Prefer podcasts? Listen to Battle Ready anytime on Now Media TV website at www.nowmedia.tv. We're covering business, breaking news, lifestyle, culture, and more. Now Media TV is available 24/7, so the stories you can care about are always within reach for you at any time. Now we're pulling everything together. George and I, we're going to talk a little bit about all of the changes from being a COO to starting his own thing, even after all the years of dealing with entrepreneurs. And now we're going to talk about, okay, what now? George, welcome back.
Thank you. Glad to be here. Appreciate it.
You know, you thought about doing this on your own thing for quite a long time, right?
Yeah, I have.
So talk to me what your thought process was. And I already know one of them. That's the financial aspect, right? You were financial okay no matter what, right?
Yes.
That helped me. How much easier did that make it?
Made it. Yeah. It absolutely made it possible, not just easy, right?
Okay.
It's going from a secure, you're getting your check every week, right? On time or every other week, wherever it is, on time to, all right, going on your own, right? And you know, you have to be financial capable to there's gonna be peaks and valleys. There's gonna be peak times and slow times. You gotta weather it all, right? Especially at the beginning. Once you get the clientele and once you get, you know, I have a lot of contacts that I've worked for or worked with that absolutely would use my services, but it's made possible because as I grew up, as I grew up in organizations, the ladders, you know, I was still very frugal. People met me on the street, and you know this, Rick, they wouldn't have never known I was a CEO or a president.
Right, right. So, no, that's true.
Yeah. You know, I work with a lot of private equity firms. So, you know, private equity firms, I work with two actually, fantastic individuals, but that's what they do. They buy smaller companies, build them up, sell them, right? And so those are the individuals that use consultants because, you know, they are finance guys. They're not operators.
Right.
So they need people to go in and either run the companies or consult and help them figure out how to run the company. So it was scary. It's scary, but it's also exciting. Again, it's transformation. And sometimes transformation can be uncomfortable. But you know
right,
what?
Right.
It's okay to be uncomfortable. That's how you grow as a person, or grow as in your leadership companies, grow as a human being. It's being able to get out your comfort zone and be uncomfortable. But it is difficult.
So, you know, you said frugal, right? I had a friend of mine tell me, you know, people call me cheap, but I don't hear cheap. I hear smart. And I thought that's pretty good. So, okay, so now we got the financial back part, right? So financially, you're comfortable, you know, you can pay the bills. What about the motivation part of actually knowing that you got the money, that you're paying yourself? I mean, you can go as fast or slow. Where does the motivation come in to start pushing to start an actual business?
Because I, you know, complacency, letting complacency sit in your life can be detrimental to your life. So you have to be self-motivated to take those risks. And I'm a very motivated individual. I don't, you know, failure is going to happen, right? But I don't fear failure, because I believe in myself and I believe that where I'm headed. But to stay young, you have to keep active. And so this is going to keep me active, and it's also going to be flexible. I can take a job. I can don't take a job. I can make my own hours. You know, and so that's very, to me, rewarding. It's also not as action-packed as my life has been for the last 33 years. I think you told me that it's time for me to, like,
right.
Yeah, it's time for me to slow down, because I've been 100 miles an hour since I was 17 years old.
No, and I know that that's definitely been a conversation we've had. You're a definitely hard, much more hard charger than I am, but I'm a little bit older than you, you know, so that's my excuse. But, you know, everybody charges at their own speed or whatever is comfortable to them. And I think that you're still in a place where your comfort is fast.
It is.
You know, I think I'd call, or we talked the other day, it was probably 7 and 8 in the morning, something like that. And you're off, and I'm like, where are you at? You're like, I'm getting my steps in. You're like walking someplace, right? I'm thinking, man, I can't stand you. I mean, I need to get back in that mode too. So now that you got your business, so how does somebody get a hold of you if they want to talk to you a little bit about, you know, some of the challenges that they're facing in their organization, or maybe they're not even facing any challenges. Maybe they are ready to take it to the next level. How do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, the best way now is through LinkedIn. My LinkedIn profile. Just send me a direct message, and please, you know, notate, you know, Ricky sent you, and I'll be more than happy to help anyone out.
Okay. And then you're working on your website for the Legacy Performance Partners, right?
Yes. Yes.
So, your first, opportunity, I know I say your first, but it's really not your first, because this is first with as the CEO of Legacy Performance Partners. But as I recall, I can even remember us traveling together back at FedEx, and you'd be getting on, somebody'd call you from either one of the other regions or even outside the region, back when Amazon was popping up and all the other different companies, and they'd be, you know, asking for, you know, some advice. So is that what kind of brought this up?
Yeah, so I have done some consultant roles, not under this brand, but one of the mentors, because I was doing it from a personal, like you just said, I was doing personal, and one of the mentors said you need to protect yourself with an LLC, you know, and so that's when I got this ball rolling. So it's not my first time. That does motivate me. I love to coach, mentor, and train, and I love when people reach out to me and we can solve problems. I'm a problem solver, right? One of my favorite quotes is, excuses are the tools of the incompetent that build bridges to nowhere. I don't know if you remember that, but right. So let's get to the root cause. Let's remove any barriers. And I enjoy helping people do that. That's why I started this organization.
So what are the next steps for you now? So are you going to relax and do this? Or are you going to just charge at this? Tell me what George is going to do.
Till the end of the year, I'm going to relax and do this.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm going to be hard charging back, you know, when the new year starts. I'm taking some time off, taking a little break. There's a couple of other opportunities that I'm going to look at this year. But then I'm going to be hard charging in 2026. I think it's a good jump off point. Beginning of the new year, you know how people feel. So in our world, Ricky, you know, October, November, December is peak weeks. That's where they make their money, right?
Right. The deliveries.
On the delivery. So that's the heaviest time of the year. There's not even going to be a lot of consultant roles, right? It's going to be after that peak. What did they learn? What obstacles did they face? How can they overcome those obstacles? And if they don't have the answer, then they need people like me to help them. And that normally happens Q1 of, you know, the following year. Just like, if you remember, FedEx, they never terminated anyone during those time frame. Come January, you know, people were going left and right, right? So same concept. I don't expect a lot in this world because it's peak. They're focused on customer service. They're focused on their mission, their vision, making as much profit as they can. But going into the new year is when you know, then I'm gonna charge it hard. I'm gonna network. They're all gonna know by then I have this this company. So I don't ever see myself not doing something. I'm also gonna look at possibly a couple of franchises. I think, you know, I talked about one of them.
Right. Yes.
So again, I have seen too many people when they retire or they stop working. That's when their health goes down. That's when their mental, because they're so used to working so much. So I don't want that to happen to me.
Well, George, thanks for taking the time to be with me on the show today. As always, learn stuff from you, no matter when we talk. You know, we go banter all the time when we talk throughout the weeks or other times, but you definitely have always been very motivational to me. And I know that you'll do a great job out there working with everybody. So I appreciate you taking the time to be on the show today.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. Anytime.
And guys, once again, George Crosby, Legacy Performance Partners. He'll be ready to go and he'll be available for you to reach out and just bounce things off of, because sometimes, you know, a different point of view always helps. Guys, again, this has been Ricky Chavez with Battle Ready. You know, and in today's life, it's, you never know what challenges you're going to go. It's not how the challenges come. It's how you handle them. Thanks, Gunn. Have a great week, and go ahead and be battle ready. See you guys soon.